I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
In the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale platform where each piece is carefully inspected by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. Use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Louis Vuitton, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com and get up to 15% off your first purchase as a member with code REBAGNEW. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAGNEW for up to 15% off your first purchase as a member.
Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction, and free shipping, and that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast, and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
Wait, are you gaming? On a Chromebook?
Yep. It's got a high-res 120Hz display, plus this killer RGB keyboard. And I can access thousands of games anytime, anywhere.
Stop playing.
What?
Get out of here.
Huh?
Yeah, I want you to stop playing and get out of here so I can game on that Chromebook.
Got it.
Go ahead, break it down, really. Discover the ultimate cloud gaming machine. A new kind of Chromebook.
You're about to hear the Core podcast, and if you'd like to support it, consider it. Head on over to patreon.com/coreshow and support us today.
What are we if not slaves to this torment? We are the Forsaken. Is that smell?
There's an awful lot of people yelling splood in the chat room. Splood! Which, if you listen to last week's episode, that'll make sense. Hearing it now, it's probably horrifying. Hey, everybody. Welcome to Heroes of the Storms podcast. We're not official. They don't, you know, this isn't like a Blizzard thing. But we love this game so much that I'll go ahead and say it. It's a Heroes of the Storm podcast. Maybe not the, but it's one of them. And there's a few you could choose from, but I think this one's a pretty damn good choice. It's Core. I'm Scott Johnson with Bo Schwartz and John Jagger, and we're here to bring you yet another fine episode of said show. And guys, I don't want to say we called it, but last week on this show, by the way, Bo, killer intro. That was amazing. Freaking loved it.
Yeah. For the Core.
Yeah. It was really good. It's that pause you put in there with her, though. That's what wins it. Do you know what I'm saying? Like that. She could have just said Core and Horde together and we'd be off to the races. But instead, you drag it out and it's, oh my gosh, it makes me want to join the fight. Let's like go. Yeah. Let's get some Alliance pigs. Let's
that,
do it.
That was a huge moment in the trailers. Just there's no other sound. It gets quiet and she turns into a banshee and goes, wah! It's an approximation.
Yeah.
Of what that sounded like.
That is what that is. It is definitely an approximation.
It needs its own space. They did that with the trailer, and I was like, oh, man, this is the best sound in video game trailer history.
It's so good. It's so good. Well done. But, all right, so I wanted to make sure to give props where they were due. So last week, I think it may have been me. Correct me if I'm wrong. But I think we as a show had offered up the idea, or at least agreed to the idea, that we thought a more... like a PvE style approach to the game would be cool as either a mode or an occasional thing or something. I used examples like Battlerite has kind of a PvP mode that's training, but it's also kind of a full mode unto itself. And there's a little bit of story there. You can explore new things. And our thinking was at the time, if I recall, was this. If they're going to start adding more story to the Nexus, which they've said out loud at BlizzCon and since, wouldn't it be nice if they, you know, did that in a sort of PvE sort of cooperative way? And then we just sort of let that go, not thinking anything would happen. Lo and behold, like right after the show, well, I guess it had been Thursday, right? Yeah, the next
day. The day after.
Yeah, the day after. They launched the new brawl, which is called Escape from Braxis, which is something just incidentally Bo tries to do every time the Braxis holdout map loads. But anyway, because you don't like it. See, that's the joke. See, anyway, so
I got it.
I know. Everyone got it.
It wasn't too subtle for him.
Apparently not. So that thing came out in the brawls, and it is straight up a PvP cooperative scenario, basically, that you play in this brawl. And it's great. It's freaking great. Like, it's everything that I wanted from such a thing. Now, the only part of it I'm not sure I'm totally down with is the idea that it's just an occasional brawl. You know, nice to have it while we have it. But if that's all this ever shows up as, is some sort of cooperative brawl, and we don't have something with more permanence, that'll bum me out a little bit, because I'd love to see more of this. But I think we should talk about it. So, John, your take on the Escape from Braxis deal, and did it catch you by surprise like it did everyone else?
That's what it seems like, right? Mm-hmm. I wrote in the show notes someone turned off the hype machine because, you know, we've had some brawls that have gotten attention in trailers and gotten entire write-ups on the website and stuff like that. And maybe this did too. Maybe it's our fault. Maybe it's the fact that it came out during a holiday and just we weren't as plugged in as we normally would be. We were doing family things and eating too much food and all that. But I, all of a sudden it was just like there. And it was this amazing thing that felt like it just appeared out of the ether with no fanfare. And look, it was, you know, it was pretty easy. It wasn't very demanding, but oh my gosh, it was a lot of fun. Mm-hmm. And it created this really cool, like, just way to play the game, a way to relax with your friends. It even created its own little meta game there for a while where pros and non-professional players were racing each other to see who could get the fastest time. And I don't know, it just exploded. It was, and to me, it was hands down the most fun I've had with a brawl so far.
What'd you think, Bo? Do you like it too? You're the one that actually, I think you're the one that like sounded the alarm, because I don't even pay attention to brawls when they come around. So we're sitting around in Slack, I feel like, and all of a sudden Bo's like, oh my gosh, you guys, have you played the brawl? And John and I were like, no.
Yeah, it wasn't something I was expecting at all. I think I've been pretty meh on brawls. I think maybe even on the whole, yeah, I guess it's not Arena anymore, it's Brawl. I've been pretty meh on it. And I was like, oh my god, I have to try this. Everyone's saying it's fun. And I was surprised at how much it felt like I was in a LFD when I first tried it out, like in World of Warcraft. Like, it had that feel to it, mm-hmm. but it had like a Diablo vibe and a StarCraft vibe and a vibe all of its own, that it's like Heroes mechanics in the game that I'm used to. Mm-hmm. I was really surprised, and I actually wanted to play it.
Yeah.
And I played it because I wanted to play it, and it was fun. Like John said, it was pretty easy, but I think there's a lot of potential here. Arguably not the game that Heroes necessarily sets out to be. The impression I get from it is that someone felt really passionate about this and spent a lot of after work hours possibly working on this. I know that's how we got the ARAM map, so...
Sure.
Does it tell a lot of love went into this one?
Does it surprise you that, that we didn't hear anything about it? Like, there were no hints, there was no hints dropped at BlizzCon that something like this might be coming for Brawls. It just sort of came out of nowhere.
That's where I sort of get this theory that like if one or more, maybe some people had a harebrained notion, hey, we're gonna do this thing, and Alan DeBeery's like, or Captain Adab, is like, if you guys want to work on it, fine, but you still got to sweep the decks and, you know, do all the other boat work. Mm-hmm. And it, whatever you do on your own time is your, it feels like a project like that that made it there. I remember I did see a comment like, what's the big deal? All this kind of stuff's available on arcade all the time. Mm-hmm. But it was a, I don't want to say manicured, but it was a it looked like a lot of care went into bringing this, you know, a balanced, fun, digestible piece of content. Nothing super broken or janky about it at all.
Yeah.
Just easy.
Just sort of worked. You went through it. I mean, I died. Yeah. I have to admit, it wasn't super easy my first time through. Because I wasn't sure what to expect. I wasn't exactly sure what was going on. And honestly, it wasn't even clear to me that these other characters that would show up, like Queen, the voice would go, Queen of Blades. And suddenly Kerrigan's there, a little extra chunky, you know, like Kerrigan with stuff on her. And I thought, oh, is that a player? Is this not a player? And then it dawns on me, oh, no. This is all PvE. Like, there's no other team. And it's our job to get through here. And I had some pretty bad players with me, and we lost the first round. But but I wanted to do it again.
You know who you are.
Yeah.
Just throw them right under the bus. Is them.
Exactly.
So I thought it was other people we were fighting, but it was them. It was the innit. It was my allies that really brought me down.
Somebody in the chat room, I want to say, oh, Daniel Day Newman says, man, if they could go, if they could do for Diablo what they did for HOTS, when you can do a greater rift with Arthas. The idea, he's not super clear on the idea, but my thinking is, wouldn't it be cool if we had kind of a rift system in the game that was just you and, you know, four of your friends. It is five, right? Yeah, five total on the team. Five of you get in there and go as far as you can and kill as much stuff as you can and earn rewards that way. Like, that's actually a pretty cool idea. I mean, after seeing this, now I got all kinds of ideas that I wish they would pursue. So,
I mean, the dungeon run, I don't really play any Hearthstone in a very long time, but the dungeon run was the one aspect of the new Hearthstone announcements this year that seemed like would get me back into the game to play.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd happily take anything like a roguelike. You know, Greater Rift is kind of roguelike, except there's not much variety. It's just kill, kill, kill. But I imagine there's a lot of depth. I think the big word coming out of this is like potential. Oh, look what the client can do, and look what they can put together for us as fun activities as heroes players. And then it's like everyone loves it, and also everyone's immediately given the development team a giant laundry list of work to do to be like, all right, now we want 15 levels, and we want greater rifts, and please give us items, and you know, yada, which is a good sign. It's a sign that it's a success.
There seems to be a pretty universal response. I haven't seen anything where people are like, I freaking hate this brawl. It's the worst idea they've ever had. I'm sure someone doesn't like it somewhere, but this is like, you know, I'm hearing pretty much nothing but positive feedback. So I'm sure that that's what they're getting. Chat room also suggests somebody said rumors are flying that the next version of this would be a heroic mode to this. So that makes me think of all kinds of ideas. They could have normal, heroic, mythic. They don't have to copy other games, but they've got ideas in the other Blizzard IPs that they could apply here.
Yeah,
and
they could copy all they want. It's the Nexus. Everything comes here, including your dungeon difficulties.
Good point.
We pulled up your dungeon difficulty right into the Nexus. It's ours now.
Yeah, thank you so much for that, other games Blizzard makes. Anyway, it's really cool. It reminded me of playing a StarCraft scenario, and I really dug it and would like more, please. So
I'd say it's my favorite brawl that they've ever released.
Oh, yeah.
The best one.
Like, hands down, right? Like, it's not even a competition as far as I'm concerned.
It's the one I wanted to keep going back to play over again. And I'll tell you the other thing. We've talked before about Brawl rewards, especially when they moved it to just the loot box. Not really feeling right, not really feeling compelling to get in there. The amount of XP they were giving you per character that you played through the thing made me feel like, oh, this is actually a pretty fun way to go back. Like, I want to go back and play again, not just for XP and leveling up characters, but a nice incentive to say, hey, you're not wasting your time, was the amount of XP you were getting from those runs.
Yeah. Well, it's super cool. One final note about the chat room. A couple of people are in here saying, I've never heard of this show before. Is it new? No. 106 episodes in, and welcome, and we hope you enjoy it. We talk about Heroes of the Storm, and we really like this game. So make yourself comfortable, pull up a chair, grab some hot soup, and put your feet up. It's time for Bo to tell us a story. No, Bo, you don't have to tell a story. All right.
Oh, I don't know about that. Save it for later. Yeah. End of the show.
So very excited about that. We'll see what happens in the future. They have to be happy with the response, and of course, I feel like we're going to have all kinds of ideas down the road on the show, and we'll talk about those as we get to them. All right, let's talk about the big elephant in the room, the elephant who seems to not be healing as well as he did previous to his former elephant self. And that is
one of those healing elephants.
Yes. The support apocalypse. Support copalypse. How would you say it? Support the calypse. Anyway, whatever.
I don't know. Bo wrote it. I just copied.
Support calypse.
Support calypse. Okay. All right, fine.
Support calypse. Yeah. Support the team, maybe.
It's starting to
Who's
sound
calypse
weird.
And what's their platform?
Yeah, I don't know if I like it. Anyway.
This is so funny. Doesn't he host a show, George Supportcalypse? Isn't that a guy?
Yeah, it was an old, it was a senator from Georgia. Old George Supportcalypse. The gentleman from Georgia would please stand, and he'd get up and say, I believe all support should be nerfed to the ground, is what he'd say.
Oh, and so then they hired him at Blizzard, I guess.
Oh, Core's on the launcher tonight. Did we know that? I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Oh!
I didn't know that.
I had no idea. That's why people are new in here. Hi, and welcome.
Looks like I'm going to have to shelve some of the dirty stories for another show. Sorry.
somebody in here is like, I recognize the guy in the tiny bottom square. Look, we had... We had trouble with our stuff this tonight. It's all good. There's a big version of me. There's a big version of John.
A tiny bottom square.
You know, like you do. But we had to make do with what we had. Anyway, enough of that. Let's talk about supports. They got nailed, hammered, boom, bam, slam. This took me by complete surprise. This was not talked about previously, and it was sort of put out there without much fanfare, although pretty quickly after it happened, there was a bunch of follow-up from Blizzard sort of explaining what their thinking was. But on Monday, there was a note put up showing that almost every support in the game, with very few exceptions, maybe one or two is all, maybe even one. I'm trying to think of one.
It's just one. Is it just the one? Just Lili.
Just Lili, because she got a rework, and they probably don't want to mess with her yet. But everybody else got a pretty good nerf, and I don't mean like not drastic nerfs, but if you take it as a whole, supports were targeted clearly for nerfing. And then the big question was, well, why? What's going on? Why are supports having this happen? And we had guesses, people in the community had guesses. Generally speaking, people thought, well, this got to have something to do with the dual support stuff we're seeing, because that just makes sense. But also, how does this fix that? So there's still a lot of questions about that. Sure enough, their update came out and they said, yes, this is about the dual support problem we're having, the dual support meta, that is to say, and we want to curb that. I still have a lot of questions as to why, A, that that's a bad thing for the game, which they say they think it is, and B, how nerfing supports makes you have less supports. And we can get all that in a second, but let's start with why is it bad for the game? Okay, so I'm going to throw it around the table on this, but this is what they said. Oftentimes comps, and I'm paraphrasing here, end up being a tank, kind of a frontline main tank, some sort of bruiser style tank to handle what those handle best, two supports of some kind or another that play well together, and one assassin. That means that not only are assassins only getting, you know, half to a third of what they used to get played in games, but also there's no specialists in here. Like, the specialists are being left out, with a couple of exceptions. And I guess I kind of understand that, but us discovering that having two supports is a good idea, why is that bad? Bo, why is it bad that two supports are part of the meta?
I don't think it's bad in a vacuum. I think that if it becomes a dominant style of play, then you've got... Because people are favoring having two frontline and you have two, you know, supports, you're going to, you have this wide pantheon of assassin characters for all types of situations and you know, counters and strategic team comp picks that you can't pick because everything's invested on one. So it actually does a lot to reduce gameplay diversity in terms of the hero pools. Mm. And I think that's like the PR answer is just, they want to see all kinds of different, the whole rainbow, you know, we need to kind of have double warrior and double support and 15 assassins. You know, we want the whole rainbow to be viable. We want you to be making strategic picks based on, you know, what's available. And if any one role becomes too dominant, they do have to fix it. So I think probably what they're saying is we're seeing it too much, and either it's because objectively they're too strong or just because the community's in a place where they believe it's too strong, even if it isn't, because that happens too.
Mm-hmm.
Probably a little bit of both.
John, yeah. How are your feelings on the state of things with two supports? I was enjoying that because I like being support, but.
I know you do. I know this is a hard day. This is a hard topic for you, Scott. We'll survive it. Yeah. It'll be all right.
All right.
I think Bo nailed it. I think the problem isn't that we're saying, okay, we want one assassin. It's that when you say, okay, we're taking one assassin, what have you done to that one assassin? Not only have you put an immense responsibility on a single player, you know, you don't always get to pick what role you want to be in ranked right now. So if you fall into the one assassin role, you're getting a lot asked of you. And you're also basically being told, hey, I don't care that you're, you know, you think you're the greatest thrall in the entire world. You need to play Greymane, or you need to play Vala. Mm-hmm. You know, you need to play one of these characters that can do both poke and sustain and also burst. You need to be somebody that can fill both those roles because you're the assassin. And I think that's a lot to ask for people, but I also don't think it makes for a very interesting game.
Mm. Okay. A lot of the chat room would say things like, and a couple have said, nobody likes when nobody dies. I mean, I don't feel like I had games where we had dual support where nobody dies. You still have to be smart about what you're doing and everything, but I understand. I mean, the whole point of having two supports is better sustainability and living longer than the other team.
Right. The reason why this is controversial, I think, and where we've seen some maybe more on the vitriolic or hyperbolic side of commentary, is that the changes are intended to specifically address the dual support issue. I think still people feel like playing support is like, here's a wet noodle and here's whack-a-mole, you know, and here's like a newspaper hat, and here are some rubber boots. Like, you just feel like the weird guy on your team, or it's just like, I'm not the coolest, but I help my team. And, you know, I think when you find supports you like, you find things like, why do we like Karazim, Scott? And John, you like him too. Because he punches. He punches the crap out of people, and it feels good.
Sure.
And it's like, well, his damage brought down. Like, the reason I find him fun is I get to say I'm playing a support and do healing. But really, I'm like just looking to punch the crap out of everything. Like, that's job one, even though I'm acting like I'm being a support. Like, that's, you know, you find supports that it's like, yeah, I got to do the healing thing.
Right.
But I can, you know, play out the fantasy of it. But I think generally speaking, if you don't do enough healing on any of these characters, I think people feel like, well, why would I even bother playing support if I'm weak? And I think without enough advance notice, just showing up on Monday, boom, all you supports get nerfed. People who prefer playing supports, A, had their healing nerfed, had their damage output nerfed, and had their wave clear targeted. So it's just like, it's like a big middle finger. It feels like, to players, not necessarily true, a big middle finger to people who are happy to play solo support and having their niches and the characters they like, but really feeling like there's even less of a reason to play them because they're just so ineffective, except like when everything got touched, their health pools got touched. Like, so I think that's where the response comes in. And ultimately this change is good if it's good for the health of the game, but there were some really questionable things without explanation up front in here, which is like, why are we nerfing Lucio's damage? Like, it's like, it's baked in that it's nerfed. It's like a nerf gun. Literally. It feels like it does zero damage. Like, why are we nerfing Lucio's gun? Like, why did that happen? And without any explanation or context, just boom, everything's nerfed. It was really ham-handed. And they did explain in the Q&A today and put up a blog post eventually, but it hit the community in a bad way because there was like head scratchers like that in the notes where it's like, these guys don't do damage anyways. Why are you taking it away? You don't need, that's not, everyone knows that Lucio does zero damage.
He doesn't do a lot of damage, but he does do that end of life stuff where you've got somebody down to nothing and he's in there and quick because he's, you know, crossfading and his world is green for a moment so he can get out of there and not get hurt too much, but he can just lay into you enough to be just enough to take you out before you can get over your wall or wherever you're trying to get.
Yeah, I'm not saying he's ineffective or bad or anything like that. It's just, you know, he didn't he didn't really need it. No one was like, oh my God, that Lucio damage is so annoying. Like, you know, you never heard it. You never will hear it. Like, I haven't heard it, you know, and it's like there's a lot of examples of stuff like I get reducing the healing, the damage on some of them, and some of the things they took off were just, huh?
Yeah, you know? Yeah.
Stukov's basic attack damage, not touched.
Yeah.
So you know they're thinking about it. They're like, oh, he hits hard. We can't reduce that.
I am happy to say my favorite character in the entire game right now is Stukov, and I'm happy that they didn't touch him too much. He's got some changes, obviously, but it's not none of it strikes me as, oh no, Stukov's unplayable anymore. But there are other characters like Karazim. I already felt like his healing was kind of getting to be poop anyway.
It just got nerfed.
It got nerfed.
We were just complaining two episodes in a row. Yeah. Like, oh my God, his healing sucks. Let's tune him down another 5%.
Yeah, that's a bummer. That's a freaking bummer. I think that some of the most interesting play in the game, Heroes of the Storm, comes from healer stuff. That's where I've grown to be in the game. I love it more than any other part of the game. I really like support. So I feel like those like me, and I know they're out there because we heard from them all week, they're upset about this. They're like, well, wait, I found a home in your game, and you're making me less. You're making me irrelevant in some cases, and less relevant in others. And that's a bummer, man. I know they have to do it, and you're right. If the long-term health of the game benefits, then they have to do stuff like this, and it may one day be that all tanks take a hit in some way. In fact, they have in the past already. It's not like this isn't unforeseen, but it just came out of nowhere, and it affected everybody. I picture, like in the Nexus, these barracks full of classes, and all the brawler tank guys live in one barracks, and then the East barracks, it's all full of the regular tanks, and they're still trying to decide if Diablo should be allowed in either one of those. And then over here, you got, you know, your specialists sitting around going blah, 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 whatever they do, and then healers in their barracks. And some freaking sergeant of the army there comes walked in, all right, you bunch of pansies, here's the freaking deal. Everybody's nerfed to shit. I mean, that's it. That's what it feels like. And everyone else is like, meh, you guys suck. All right, well, whatever. It's like they didn't get touched. So I'm just, it's a bad scenario. It's a bad metaphor. But what I'm getting at is if you loved support, this was not good news for you. Even if, in your heart of hearts, you know that it's better for the long-term health of the meta of the game, which, by the way, does not affect your everyday, well, I guess it affects it, but it shouldn't affect your everyday sort of quick match lifestyle, because people do all kinds of weird stuff in there where they combine all kinds of things.
You don't, it is not mutually exclusive to have to say, I want this game to evolve and be the best game it can be, so therefore I have to be happy about a change that is making me sad. You don't have to feel that way. It's, you can absolutely sit there and tell yourself, man, I hate the fact that I got nerfed, but I understand it's in the direction of moving this game into a place where maybe it needs to be. And that's good. And that's something that I want to see from this game.
Yeah.
And I think that's what this is, honestly. I think when you look at what they said at the Q&A today, they talked very specifically about, a lot of people were asking, why did it have to be now? Why now? You've got a giant patch coming soon, so why this week? And they said this was our window to get it in before all the 2018 game update stuff comes in. They are collecting data, clearly. They want data prior to the 2018 game update. They're going to collect data after it. And I feel like this support nerf is step one. Yeah. Step one is you hit everybody. Step two is you look at the numbers, you look at where everybody lands, and you tweak from there. It's like we felt when they did the Morales rework. You know, Scott, you kind of were digging it right out the gate, but there were a lot of people that said, oh, this isn't good. I don't like it. And the one thing we kept saying to kind of reassure people, hey, this is going to be okay, was that they have added new ways to tweak the numbers to balance her. This is a new way to tweak the numbers for support. They've brought everybody to a baseline down. And now the next step is to figure out where they need to be from there. It's a sucky part of the step, but it's a step we need to take. So I kind of feel like this was them, you know, kind of tearing off the Band-Aid. That's a terrible analogy because it's supposed to be fixing the game. But, you know, like, it hurts right now, but we got to do it so we can get where we want to be.
I just wonder if this is one of those haves and have-nots things where people who like to main healers are the ones really feeling it, and everybody else is like, well, whatever. I'm just, you know, I prefer assassin anyway. I'm not saying that's you, but you know what I mean. Like,
sure,
this is only affecting a probably relatively small portion of the player base because supports historically in all of these kinds of games aren't everyone's favorite thing to do. They win games. They win fights. They do all kinds of really important things, but they're unsung. They're like, someone in the chat said they're like the place kickers in football. They are. They're kind of like the, you know, it'll turn the tide of the game. It may mean that you win, but nobody's really celebrating with that guy. They're still, you know, throwing all their confetti at the freaking quarterback. And by confetti, I mean underwear, if you know what I'm saying.
Oh, okay. I gotcha.
Yeah. I've been to a football game.
I mean, I think my thought on it is, and I said this on Twitter, like, me telling support players it's going to be fine is like a lifelong vegan telling you how to cook your steak. I don't play a ton of support. It's not my thing. Don't listen to me and be like, well, John said it would be okay, and gosh darn it, I trust him. I don't know. I don't play a ton of support. I was actually just starting to get into it, and now I'm like, I don't know if I want to get into it. I don't know if I'm ready to dip my toe into that pool again. But I do know this, and I think, gut reactions aside, and there's going to be people who will still disagree with me, and I'll just say, all right, I think you're wrong.
Okay.
No matter what Reddit says, no matter what Twitter says, no matter what the three of us say right here, right now, we don't know what the outcome of this is going to be. Because I don't think even Blizzard knows what the outcome of this is going to be. We need to let it land, let it sit, let it stew, and see where it goes. But I know, based on their history, that if there's a problem or an issue, they'll fix it.
Mm-hmm.
We'll get to a good place. Again, that doesn't mean you can't be bummed right now. All your supports got nerfed. That sucks. Mm. Unless you were a Lili main.
Yeah.
But.
And how many Lili mains do we know? Not very many.
All the supports now.
I know one. I know one.
Well, if you know one, I guarantee you're going to know a lot more after today. Because they're all going to be in there playing Lili. I'll bet every game we play tonight has a Lili on the other team. I'll bet you.
No.
Lili's not that good.
No way.
Yeah, but she's the only one that didn't get nerfed. I'm telling you, it's a mental thing.
But she got a rework recently.
Yeah, I guess she did. Is the hammer rework, all that's in now? Is all that stuff in?
No. All that stuff, the support changes and the hammer rework, yes.
Those are in today.
If you're talking about stealth and camera and all that, no.
That's the other thing. Well, yeah, I knew that. But that's the other thing that they didn't do. They really gave us no warning on this. Like, this is usually something, and maybe this was smart of them. I'm not saying this is the wrong way to do it, perhaps the best way to do it, but to just rip the Band-Aid off, you know, to use a healing metaphor, just pull that thing right off your arm and bleed, because, you know, it's going to happen anyway. I may as well not stew on it for 3 weeks. I guess I'd rather know right before they do it, and I guess that's what they did. But
I think I read an explanation of what it was. It was just they couldn't do it before the finals tournament. They didn't want to put those changes in. The BlizzCon happened. The gameplay update is kind of a milestone, and they decided they wanted to get something big like that in before the gameplay update, so their options were limited. Like, just put it in. Do it now. Like, and so...
Yeah.
Not saying we appreciated that. I know I reacted very poorly to the news on Monday, but I'm going to be more dignified about it here on the show. But I don't think it's good to announce a patch and then have another patch and then have that patch go live. And then there's the other patch we're still trying to wrap our head around.
Mm. And this is a whole thing.
That's not a good look. Like, I think that's very tough for consumers to digest.
Well, we should probably talk about that just for a second then, because That is one thing about this particular cycle we're in right now that is a little bit unusual. And part of it I've always just sort of blamed on, well, the holidays are coming. They're trying to ramp up production on a few things, get those out the door. They're probably making some of these decisions on the fly, so it's very fluid. But you really don't like the effect of having backpacked patches happening one after the other. Part of what they said was part of an update is now split into two other updates. Like, why does that give you gas? What is it about that that's rubbing you wrong?
Well, I mean, we do the show, so I do have to look at, not that it's a chore, but I have to look at all this news, wrap my head around it, have something, hopefully, of value to say that you've enjoyed listening to the show about it. And if I feel like if I'm having difficulty or inconvenienced by the news, I imagine the average layperson who just logs in is going to be inconvenienced because the people they play with aren't up to date, or they're not up to date and they feel behind. Like, there was a huge dearth of information dropped at BlizzCon, so I feel like the way to properly educate and build information around it is say, here is the update, here's what's coming, here's when it launches, or here's the dates if it's staged, like we have Alex and Hanzo and the rest of the stuff. That seems, you know, understandable. Then you say, okay, there's a patch and there's an event coming up for loot boxes, and it'll be released in stages. You'll have Alex, Hanzo, and the rest of the stuff then. Oh, and by the way, boom, there's a patch also with a bunch of other fundamental changes, and that's going up 2 days before the other patch is going up. And I'm like, oh, and there's a hot fix mixed into that. And I just feel like there's already a lot of information that goes into patches because we do reworks and all the reworks and fundamental talent changes. That's why I hope this is sort of an exception to the rule. But it also was coming off the heels. I had a look back at 2017, and this does include hot fix patches, which are, you know, not really impactful for discussion, but there are about 55 or so patches. If you go to heroespatchnotes.com, I counted, and it's a lot of information over the course of the year to keep up. And we like a game that's in constant change, but stability is good. Making sure we're communicating things in the right order to our player base. Also, I mean, why wouldn't you do it? It's just, I feel like it's lacking in that regard. We got the announcement of the patch notes. Then we got the explanation about the changes. Should have been the other way around. And it has been in the past. I think it's just probably post BlizzCon crunch. And I'm giving that team the benefit of the doubt, because they're obviously very awesome and do a lot of awesome stuff. But I didn't like the way this was announced. And I think that's also an explanation as to why the community reacted the way it did to it.
Could have been maybe just a little bit of an early warning is all I would like. Maybe the notes before the PTR post would have been cool, or I don't know. I trust those guys. Just,
usually in the past what they've done is, oh, we're adding this to the next patch. Like, they've added things in the PTR during the PTR phase.
Yeah.
And like I said, they had stated goals for why they didn't want to do it. And I'm empathetic, and it makes a lot of sense. But as a consumer, I'm selfish. I don't, you know, I'm not really supposed to think, like, maybe as a bit of an insider, I get it. But as a regular old consumer, I just look at, what are they throwing at me? Ugh, this is too, you know, it's tons of information in weird order. And
well, your average player isn't as paying attention to that stuff, and they're just playing a game that, oh, there's a patch. Cool. Okay, I'm playing this game still. Like, maybe they don't even notice. Who knows?
So anyways, that irked me on Monday. I'm okay now.
Yeah. Real quick here. So I'm putting it in the chat if it'll work. There it is. This is a screen grab of the patch notes page. You guys should open that link as well. It's just a Dropbox link, but you will see in that Dropbox link the disproportionate heroes affected by patch stuff. So they always say what heroes had some stuff done, and you can quick jump to them by clicking on Zul'jin or Tychus or Hammer or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, look at that thing. That's like... It's ridiculous. Like,
support city.
Yeah.
I mean, it was all the supports. That was the goal. And, you know, like I said, it's step one. People are going to be freaking out. We got to try it. We got to know. I mean, the reason for the patch before the patch is because science. Like, this is the scientific method. If they put this out at the same time as the 2018 update, and then they look at the numbers, then they have to sit around and say, okay, well, let's say Lucio, you know, Bo talked about his damage earlier. Okay, Lucio's damage seems really bad. He's not performing the way we want. Well, if you put it out at the same time as the 2018 game update, is it because of the 2018 game update changes, or is it because of the support nerfs? This way they are getting data prior to it. They'll get data after it. Like, it's just the way you do it with the scientific method. Again, that doesn't mean it has to feel good, but it makes sense.
Yeah.
I'm not telling anybody, like, hey, you shouldn't feel bad about this, but I'm telling you that, like, looking at it as an outsider thinking about it and the process of trying to create a balanced video game, the decisions make some semblance of sense to me.
Sure. One other thing I would say, it's easy to forget that in all this maelstrom of support changes, Tychus's minigun trait now has no mana cost associated with it. Just wanted to throw that out there, because that seems crazy to me that no longer costs him any mana. But hey, whatever, man.
That's good.
Do what you got to do there, Tychus.
Let me tell you what's crazy is that Medivh didn't get any changes as part of the support changes. Now, it could be the fact that every time they make changes to this game, I just hope the patch note includes, we've decided to remove Medivh from Heroes of the Storm. Right. So this point has not happened.
Yeah.
But I was surprised to see that good old Uncle Medivh.
To clarify, it's because he doesn't want it on his team. It's not so much that it's on the enemy's team.
Right.
It's to nerf his team.
No, I mean, I think Medivh, there is a golden rule with Medivh. We've talked about it. If he's on your team, he's bad. If he's on the enemy team, he's amazing. And he makes every HGC match he's in boring.
Yeah.
So that's just the universal truth.
Well, you and I have agreed, I think, in the past, what the number one nerf Medivh needs is being taken literally out of the game and never to be seen again. So
he just went into bird form, and he's watching. Yeah. He's the new observer.
He could be Taronda's new bird, just to replace the owl, put that bird in there. So instead of her chucking a bird, she's chucking Medivh across the map.
You actually gave me a brilliant idea, something this game needs that it doesn't have yet.
All right,
that's all about breaking the rules.
What do you got?
You guys remember a game called Chrono Trigger?
Yes.
Yes, this and is my you favorite would, you game would, of all
you,
time.
You would combine abilities to make other abilities?
Yeah.
We need heroes to do that. Like, that'd be amazing. Like, for example, if like Li Ming has her disintegrate beam out and then Stitches takes a fart on it, it turns into like a green slowy beam and does some other kind of... lowers armor or something.
Oh, I love
like,
this
we don't
idea.
we don't have like combo effects, and it doesn't have to be with all the heroes or anything, but it'd be kind of it's an interesting space they haven't played with yet, which is there's the space bee from Artanis, and I don't know, Chromie puts a sand filter over it and it becomes the
glass
sand
and
rain.
Everybody falls.
Rain of glass, there you go.
100% with this idea. It's a great idea. Cross the streams. Yeah. Bring your abilities together, come up with combinations that are like true combos, not, I mean, it's great to time your stuff with each other and you'd still do that, but you could create some real mayhem. Like, I don't know what combinations.
Yeah, Medivh turns into a bird and his ultimate is sit on Taronda's shoulder and then Taronda fires it out, right? And it's like an even more damaging sentinel. It's like a super sentinel.
Oh, I'm in. Yeah. I'm into everything you're selling there. It's pretty good.
You had me at super sentinel.
Okay. They did an update in the Q&A today. So did anyone watch the Q&A? Did you guys miss that? See that? Anyone see that?
Well, it was Reddit. So I watched it periodically.
Well, that's what I mean.
Just text
and stuff. But
the info here is just the support related comments that I added. Yeah.
Yeah. Did they talk about much else? Like, I feel like that was going to end up being the thing that they got hammered.
I have
today.
It later in the notes here, but we can go ahead into it now.
No,
but
we can get to it, but it surprises me that they were able to get anything else in, you know, cause this came as out of nowhere and the player base lost their minds and, you know, gamers, you have to be placated. We think we're all owed something. So
yeah, no, they basically just confirmed that. Yes, we realize it's a blanket change and we're going to be looking at use case, like different case scenarios or scenario cases or whatever you say, different heroes to say, oh, we shouldn't, you know, we should bring this up or bring that down.
Sure.
And the other one was Medivh, Abathur, and I put Medivh here, but I think I meant Zarya. They're not part of any of these changes, so no nerfs to them.
Okay. Well, that makes sense.
The other thing that we didn't focus on a little bit too much, but it's worth noting, is we can expect to see more cleanse-like abilities that reward timing and precision in the future, which I like on supports. Getting that nothing feels better than a clutch cleanse. Mm. Like Stitch is about to hook your teammate and you cleanse the pre-cleanse them and they don't get the hook. It's like the best feeling on a support, I think, in the world.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So they're looking at adding more stuff like that. And the other one is that they're weakening wave clear on them too. Like they're all going to be bad at wave clear. I think at some point they removed lightning bond on Rhaegar, which was a must pick at level one for him. So that's going to be a state of weakness of the role.
Mm.
Last one is that the design team, and this is one we can talk about because I know Scott and I play a fair bit of support. We recognize that supports, it's enjoyable to have a mini game when it comes to healing. So if it's just point and click healing, it's boring. But I imagine if you have to do a Sudoku puzzle before you're allowed to heal, I guess that's maybe more fun. I think that's, I don't mean to be disparaging, but just that you have like a mini game to play to get to the heal is something that they're looking at. I don't know if that means on new heroes or on the existing heroes.
Well, I would argue Stukov's, one of his strengths is that his is kind of a mini game. Like he, yeah, him making sure it spreads and then talenting for it or whatever, being in the right place, the right time, knowing when to hit his D and when not to, is I think what they're talking about. At least that's the translation I come away from this. So there are a few heroes like that, but I'd love to see more interesting things like that. I don't want him to go too far, because one of the things I hate about Ariel is she's too far that direction, and it's too dependent on somebody else doing their job to get the healing done right. And I know she can be played effectively.
Like when other people don't do their job.
I freaking hate her so bad. I just wish I liked her and I don't. And that's a me thing, and I'll take that for whatever it's worth. But Ariel's just, she leaves me flat. I can't stand her.
I think her hope should passively regenerate.
Like, yeah, a little bit at least, right? And then boost it with the other stuff. Yeah, something like that would be good for her.
I think in a world where healers have their own mini games to be able to heal, I think you're going to like some of them and not like others. But I think we should all agree, because I feel this way, that Anna's is the Mario Party of mini games, because it's awful.
It is pretty unsatisfying, I gotta say. After having, like, I played at a level 15, I play her like a ranged character, like a DPS character. Again, another character I pretend that I'm a support on, but play
damage. I know, because I've seen you shoot your Q at enemies as they're running away.
Exactly.
That doesn't do anything.
I don't heal with her very well. It's, yeah. I don't think that's a mini game, though. That's just like, I don't even know what to call that. I think there was just, they're trying to honor the Overwatch version of her, which is what that is, but it just doesn't translate.
It's an exercise in frustration, because it's like, okay, I've got the perfect shot lined up, and then here's Stitches. What are we doing in here? And he just steps in front of the bolt, and it makes you hate your friends so much. You're just like, why are you hugging me right now? I'm not your mother. Go away. I'm trying to shoot this guy with healing love, and you're, that sounded bad, and you're just stepping in front of me constantly. Go away. Go be somewhere else.
I just think it's a fine line, and they have to be very careful, excuse me, with this mini game idea, because you can screw that up and make things too complicated. Like, sometimes I just, you know, it's a mini game in itself for me to queue properly and quickly and match that up with my energy level and everything else with Morales. Like, there's already kind of a thing going there where it's a juggle it didn't used to be. They've already kind of improved that. In the case of, like, Malfurion, you know, it's, I wouldn't call it a skill shot, but his cues matter, and when you do them matter. It's a slow heal. It's a heal that hits you and then grows. It's regrowth, literally what it's called. And they're already kind of like that. The only one I would say is on automatic is Lily, because she's just pounding a button and whoever's closest and lowest gets it.
I'd argue that she has that. I think the thing we're coming back to is what's rewarding about supports are those clutch plays with key support abilities. Because Lily, there's nothing better than a perfectly timed blind. Greymane ease in, he's in beast mode, rawr, and you put some wind in his face and he can't hit you. You know? And so even her, like, they need to lean into that harder, because it's literally you just push E and then it aims itself. But
right.
But yeah, she has, there's potential there too, I think, for them.
Yeah,
I'd say her mini game is a bit of a positional one. Like, it teaches you to be in the right place, because it's going to go to the nearest with the least health. So there is an element of, I need to make sure I'm standing.
is that
right
how
place.
Blinding Wind works?
No, not Blinding Wind.
I'm like, I don't know.
Her Q works. Blinding Wind is the two nearest enemies.
Yeah,
but like, the most satisfying Lily thing I ever did was when I just harassed that butcher in that game. I don't play that, so I can say that game, but like, it's fun. He's just in your face, like, oh, I'm going to be the butcher, I'm going to eat you. And you're just like, well, you're blinded. What are you going to do right
her
now?
Her best, most fun ability is Blinding Wind. It's super fun to blind people. I wish it lasted longer, or there was more you could do with it. That's like the most compelling part of her kit is the E.
Well, some of that got buffed a little in her rework. Some of it did, her Blinding Wind.
I played her this week. Mm-hmm. So stuff's changed around, but it still feels like same old, you know, good old Lily.
Good old Lily doing her thing.
I walked all the way into the enemy base by myself, got focused, came out alive. Mm-hmm. and I was like, yep, I'm playing Lily.
Yeah. Just little panda thing.
Sure. Why not? All right. Hanzo's in the PTR now, too, by the way. Not out for the public. Again, this is part of this split patch business, but he is up on the PTR and playable. Anybody get in there and dink with him?
Hell no. I am not logging into a PTR with four stealth reworks to be the one guy that waits 1,000 seconds to play Hanzo and get reamed by four stealthers by his little dinky guy with a bow and arrow that shoots super slow.
Yeah,
no. I am abstaining from PTR on that regard.
Yeah, I can't imagine it either. What a bad idea that is right now. I mean, I don't want to discourage people from testing on the PTR. It's important to Blizzard and to the game, and y'all should be doing it. But
that said, none of us are going to do it.
I checked him out on the try mode, and I will say this. He has one of the coolest new talents in the game, by far the coolest.
All right.
Which is his trait is he can jump over walls. Just sounds goofy when you just say it that way, but you can go next to a wall and jump, and he looks super cool. There's a talent that mounts you and gives you like 70% movement speed or something like that. Like, so you jump over the wall onto a horse.
Oh, shut up. Really? That's great.
Yeah. And you just take off. Boop, 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 clip, 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 clip.
That's great. Like it's, I like that.
Yeah. So I'm looking forward to Hanzo for that talent alone. I think there's going to be some great getaways.
Do you get the feeling?
He's not even fighting. He's just over there jumping over walls. Like, I'm on a horse now, you guys.
Totally.
Back of Leaf says Genji can already do that in the chat room. I was like, he can't mount a horse.
No, he cannot. He cannot.
World of difference.
Big difference. Here's something I just thought of. Probably right around the time Lucio happened, it seems like there was a breakthrough on the team. Somebody in the tech side went, guys, the walls and the terrain, we can do shit in here, it turns out, because suddenly he can ride the walls. And then it even gets better. Eventually we get to Junkrat, and he can ricochet off of walls and have it be proper physics and proper trajectories and all kinds of cool things with his balls. He can do things with his balls none of us can, right? And then
accurate.
100%. And then you got this now where he's leaping over a wall and landing on a horse. Like, I feel like their wall and terrain tech is on point right now.
That's something that's coming, actually, is on certain characters, you'll be able to see the wall boundaries on the map.
Oh,
yeah,
that's
they'll cool. be like slightly like transparent, I guess. But
like
you'll be
like
able
a
to
little
see...
like a little Tron outline kind of thing. That sort of
exactly.
thing.
Exactly that. So on Junkrat, Lucio, and I believe Hanzo are the characters that you'll be able to see. The other characters you won't. You'll be able to see the wall tech.
Yeah, I'm down on I'm all up for this. This sounds great. The more the walls get used, the better we are as players. Because right now, I mean, you know, in the early days, it's just decoration. There's a guy eating a pumpkin, and there's a, you know, the horse over there doing stuff, and there's a fish hanging or whatever.
That's a really good description. I'm imagining how that sounds to somebody who doesn't play Heroes of the Storm. A guy eating a pumpkin? Fantastic.
But now, you know, Junkrat can ricochet a ball off that guy's head, and it matters. Like, it's great. I wish he would react. It's the only thing I wish. But anyway, hammer rework. Let's talk about her, him, her, it. Well, it's a she, but, you know, she drives a tank. It's the tank that matters. Hammer siege mode becomes her trait. Bo, you say she gets a lame but potentially really strong ability in its place. What is it?
Yeah, so it's called... So just to explain what that is you press the D and you siege up now.
Yeah. E. Okay. No more e-sieging, de-sieging all the way.
So it wasn't that very simple concept wasn't clear to anybody.
Right.
Over-explaining it.
It's all good.
The new ability is Neo Steel Plating.
Okay.
And what that does is when you press E, you can gain 25 armor for 2 seconds. Whoop-de-doo!
Wow.
And if you're in siege mode, increase the amount of armor to 50. So if you're in siege mode, you have all damage coming into you. Which is, it's not flashy and very boring, but potentially very strong. Like, it's a self-protection versus someone bursting you. You know that's the strategy with Hammer. Everyone just jump in, like Kerrigan, dive in, and, you know, Chromie, dump all your stuff on the tank sitting still. Well, you can have all that incoming burst damage with this. In addition to that, there are a bunch of new talents that augment it. The one in particular I thought was exciting was siege tactics, which also means that when you press E, you become unstoppable for 2 seconds. So you have a self pre-cleanse. So if you see a stun coming in or a mosh pit coming in or anything like that, You can pre-cleanse and you're unstoppable for 2 seconds, which is double. I think usually it's 1 second, and get out. You can also, like, hammer likes to hook you. You see the hammer hook coming? Just press E. He can't touch you. No more stitches, hook, and hammer.
Oh, okay.
It's like I said, it's not a very flashy ability. It's kind of like, okay, we're getting armor. But the talents that go along with it are potentially, like, ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, I mean, there's a big rework in talents, but it's mostly, it looks like, just to add in E talents and move some stuff around.
All right. I haven't played her in such a long time. I forget how the hell she works in general. I bet it's going to throw me to hit D all the time for sieging.
Wait, there's another aspect to this that's important. What's actually that? When you are sieged, the other abilities become more powerful as well. Like your concussive blast, the ranges increase. Spider mines, your cast range is increased when you're sieged. So overall, you are also getting more benefits to your other abilities in the siege mode.
Nice. John, you like her, don't you? You're a fan. You like hammer? Yeah,
sometimes.
Yeah.
I'm an occasional hammer.
Yeah. She's all right.
Yeah. Yeah, she's fine.
Zul'jin got nerfed a little bit. His big fallen axe thing. What's it called? What's it called?
Guillotine.
Yeah. 20 points of damage off. Something like that. Went from like a pretty high number to a slightly less high number, but not that big a deal.
Man, I was watching a game where it was like somebody told Zul'jin, okay, your new best damage ability after 10 is guillotine. Just use it all the time. Just constantly. I have never seen more guillotines than I did in that game. It was just like, need to wave clear? Guillotine. Somebody looking at you funny? Guillotine. Team thinking about engage? Guillotine. Like, it was constant. It was the most ridiculous thing. And sometimes he was at full health. Sometimes he was at half health. Sometimes he was, you know, doing what you usually do, low health. But it was just nonstop. This guy was way into that ability. So I'm sorry to that guy. Your favorite ability is now gone. Or not gone, but it's less.
Also, this is a breaking piece of news that it was somewhat hidden. Relirian in the chat room has pointed this out to me. This is specifically to Mac players who play Heroes of the Storm on the Mac. I actually play it in two places, on a Mac and a PC, and it runs great on my Mac, but it may not for a while, because they have temporarily anyway dropped Metal support, which is like a acceleration tech built into Macs these days to support OpenGL 2.1. And until they get a solution for that, that will be not part of the game, which means you may notice a hit on performance. And that sucks if you are playing on your Mac. So there you go. Great. Now we get to have the chat room have a bunch of Mac versus PC arguments. Have fun, guys. Enjoy that.
good luck and Godspeed. Yeah. I'm sure that's going to be solved. Yeah. You'll come out of it. There will be a clear winner.
Yeah.
There's always a clear winner. Yeah.
While we're at it, why don't you figure out what's better, Xbox or PlayStation? Go ahead and figure that one out and just solve all life's mysteries.
Yeah, and just throw, you know what? Go a little Coke and Pepsi too. Why not? Let's get that one done. Brand loyalty always turns out for the best. Always.
It's super important.
And if you run out of stuff to talk about, Gamergate's still not solved either.
Yeah, so. Go fix that.
Both
of us right there. Yeah.
Nice. You can just add that in. On the
Coke and Pepsi were willing to say, go for it. I don't know if I'm ready to invite the chat room to figure that one.
We're on the launcher, baby. All right.
Nerf to Sonya's poison spear talent. Significant, because this was a key thing for her, and I'm stoked because I'm sick of fighting her. She's a pain in my ass. So any nerfs to Sonya is fine with me right now because I don't play her. So this is me doing the opposite of the healing thing. It affected me when the healing thing landed, because I love playing healers. Stuff that affects Sonya, whatever, man.
Nerf it.
I think this is just the harbinger of changes. She still needs more changes.
Yeah,
there was, I don't see it in our notes coming up, so I feel like it's safe to say, but there were a couple during the Q&A, kind of like, what's coming up? Somebody was like, hey, would you guys ever consider reworking Varian? And the response was, yes.
Yeah.
It's like, what does that mean? Does that mean they're doing it? Does that just mean, he said ever? Sure, we would consider it at some point.
Yeah, it's actually kind of a dumb question, because of course they would. They would consider every character reworkable. But the fact that they got him out in specific, that's like dangling a little, I don't know, a little piece of meat in front of your dog and expecting her to just walk away. It doesn't work that way.
I think my favorite was somebody named Medivh The Lost Vikings and Diablo and said, hey, these characters haven't seen a lot of changes. And their response was, we're doing a rework on one of them.
Yeah.
And they didn't say which one.
Clearly Lost Vikings.
It's just, we're doing, hey, one of them, they're coming.
Hopefully Lost Vikings is one unit now, and then I'm back in. I'll play that character at that point.
You can play him as one unit. I mean, you'll make everybody sad.
That's my point. Like, it ruins the game. So if they can make that viable, I'll do it. Hey, here's the other thing. Chat room is now figuring out this Pepsi and Coke thing. I just wanted to point that out. They seem to have all come to some sort of agreement that Pepsi Max is the best thing ever and no pineapple on pizza. All right.
Oh, good.
Let's do this. Let's talk about some other stuff. Hanamura will have major changes in its rework. Well, I assume so because it's been gone so long.
Sure, but I think the big thing is they said they weren't talking about it. They said we don't have a date for it, but they did tease that, like, hey, if you thought we were going to come in and just make little tweaks to try and get the way it currently worked to work again, it's not going to be that. It's going to be a major rework of how the maps played. Mm. So that was cool news to me because I felt like that's what that map needed was something big. They aren't just doing little nudges.
Are we putting odds on stays two lane or becomes three lane?
No.
Is there like a
I like
do you have someone who can give us odds and maybe we can make some bets?
Is Mitsula in there? Probably not. He could do it.
I don't know how odds work, so I'm gonna just say I think it becomes three lane.
Okay. I have no idea. That's a really good question. I wonder if it does. Because it's two lane now, right? Or was?
Was two lane.
Hmm. You could put a third lane.
Two lane, yeah.
I don't know. They could make those the actual staying with the payload thing could be more of a horizontal effort and less of a vertical one. I don't know.
Maybe that's the mid lane. Effort. So the mid lane doesn't have minions push it or forts. It's just where the tug of war happens.
See, that's not bad. Look at us designing video games. We should be working there.
Sure.
Two to three odds says HS Rob in the chat says 2 to 3 odds they go four lanes. No, they're not going to go four lanes.
See, I don't know what that means. 2 to 3. How does that work? I don't know what that means.
So there's a total of 5 odds and there's 3 non odds and 2. Is it clear now? Do I need to explain it?
No, I get gambling now. I'm going to go out and make some bets.
Yeah, let's go to Vegas and bet all of it on things because now we know how it works.
I'll go to the table and say, I'll take 10 odds, please.
Yeah. Can I have 10 odds? No, that doesn't make sense. Well, can I have 3 out of 4 then? Yeah, they won't understand what you're saying. Yeah,
sorry, guys. My chair's super squeaky. I don't know if you guys are hearing that.
No,
yeah,
in fact.
It's good.
Oh,
no,
did you hear it? I didn't hear it.
I can hear it. Cool. It sounds like Bo's occasionally torturing a small animal, but it's fine.
All right.
Like, it's my chair. It's just noisy. Sorry. Anyways.
Yeah, you're totally fine.
Nothing to see here.
They did say this. The dev team would like to do a pass on specialists to make them feel less frustrating to play against and be viable for more team comps and competitive modes. I agree. If you're going to be nerfing healers, another thing you ought to be looking at is getting specialists back in the game in a way that is less single lane, see you later, murky kind of events and have them actually be a bigger part of stuff. I like that. More Nazebos, less Abathur, in my opinion, is the direction you should go. Those are your extremes.
Yeah.
Because he is great in team comps and fights and also at lane clear and also at, you know, pushing towers and stuff. He should be good at that, but also he is so great in a team fight. That would be really nice to expect that from Abathur, and you really don't get it. They try with the hats and everything, but I don't think it works. I think it sucks.
Who was the character during the Q&A that their response was just, he dead? That was probably my favorite answer in the whole Q&A, and I just realized.
It was Arcturus Minx. Someone just wrote all caps, what happened to Arcturus Minx? And then it's a guy I follow. He's funny. It's Asgaz. Alex, I think. I can't remember his last name. He's always got snide comments, but cheeky comments. He's a bit of sass. And he's just like, he dead.
Well,
that was a developer response. And I was like, it's funny.
Well, wait. When he says he's dead, that doesn't mean we'll never see him in the. I mean, people die all the time in this game, and we're playing.
Yeah,
no,
it wasn't a serious response. It was like,
Scott's like, but what does it mean?
A certain type of corporate individual might describe that at a PR event as unprofessional. but, you know, it's fine. Notably, dead was spelt without the A, I think, as well.
So yeah. So if the list was right, that was so right for so long, isn't a fire bat next? Do we have that right?
I mean, that it was supposed to be a while ago, so I mean, I think it would be safe to say fire bat's probably on the horizon somewhere, but who knows where it will be.
Yeah. Also, somebody threw out a question about clans, of course, that always comes up, and they usually have an on-answer for it, but says clans are still on the list of features to add, but it's far out, way far out, in fact, is how they said it. That bums me out to know that that's far out. But what is far out? I don't know. They haven't really determined what that is anyway. That could be
you're far out.
Yeah,
Scott.
I'm far out. I was told 90% of the stuff that I'm getting last week, this week, and next week wasn't supposed to happen until 2018. So there are huge chunks of gameplay changes.
Who told you that, Scott? Both Bo and I knew it was coming this year.
We knew that, but not at BlizzCon. At BlizzCon, they get up and go, roadmap for 2018, changes to invisibility, freaking stealth and everything. And
okay. I would side with Scott a little bit in saying when they say 2018, that's a large amount of days in 2018.
Sure.
365 of them.
It could have been. Scott's like, there's 365 days. Excuse me. I mean, to be fair, if you just saw 2018 gameplay update and yada yada.
Yeah. It just threw me.
I can see that. But they answered it shortly thereafter, but you might have hit you a little later. That's all.
Okay. Well, I'll admit, I'm a sucker for, you know, when you're like younger or whatever. Like when I worked for a company, and if you were leaving for the holiday break for New Year's, people would jokingly say, see you next year. And that always created a cognitive dissonance in my head. So it worked on me is what I'm saying. And I would
hear
that.
You were always the guy that was like, oh, they got me again.
Yeah, totally. So this is one of those things. And I'll admit it. I'll freely admit that. What else? They said, target info panel still in development. Maybe you'll be able to see that in the next couple of months. Remind me what the target info panel is.
In the top left of your screen, when you hover or select something, you'll be able to see their health, damage, right. You get information, right. Stats.
Yeah, very excited about
paper
that.
Doll.
Looking forward to that. Team moving away from niche heroes, stating there is room for both approaches, generalist versus niche heroes. They have pros and cons, blah, blah, blah. Who's an example of a current niche hero? Probably Medivh.
Let's say Chromie. Chromie is a very particular playstyle. It's mostly ability power damage. Mm-hmm. It's mostly long range. Mm-hmm. So you can't pick her. If you pick her early, she can be countered. So this is what they listed as pros and cons.
I say niche. Skeletal, so just say whatever word.
I don't know what the right one is.
Yeah, you say skeletal mages, so
I'll say niche. Okay. I'll do a niche pick.
Oh, it's a very niche pick.
a niche sounds pick. Like he's from Jersey saying everything's real nice in here.
Everything's so niche.
So a niche pick has to be can't be picked early, which means they're relegated to the back end. And the other con is that their matchups are uneven, right? So like either you're overpowered or what counters he's overpowered. So if you have too many niche picks, then it's just a game. It's basically a game that's won a draft, right? Because who picked the counter to who and all that. And it's less about how you play the hero, but it's in opposition to what's called a generalist hero, which is like, oh, they can do a lot of different things and they're useful in a lot of different situations. Where if you have too many of those heroes, then only the top 10% get played because they're the best iterations on general heroes, right? Yeah. Like that's
definitely a problem in other MMOs or MOBAs, rather. That's a big issue.
But I think what I've taken the comment is we're on the side of the pendulum swinging to where we have a lot of niche picks that have come out or niche picks, and we're going to be making myself laugh.
I'm glad that you're sticking with it. I like it.
A lot of niche picks. So I think we're going to see more generalists like heroes that can be picked in a lot of different
games. Sit in Texas in the chat room says cough, Greymane, cough. Really? I wouldn't call Greymane niche. I would call him I don't know, like
I mean,
one of
the bit of both worlds. He's a ranged auto attack champion.
Yeah.
and also a burst melee.
Sure.
Yeah, I would actually probably put him in generalist, but I mean, at this point, we're kind of splitting hairs because he's a worgen.
Yeah, he's a damn wolf man.
Yeah, did it. He's a freaking wolf man.
Here's the thing, though. Like, there are I keep going back to Stukov because he really is my favorite hero right now. I don't know why I love him so much. I just freaking do. Everything about him, from his design to his attitude to what he does, his kit.
Didn't know that you liked Stukov.
Yeah, I haven't really made that clear in 1,000 games up till today. But the reason I like him, one of the reasons I like him so much is because he feels niche without feeling, but also is a generalist. Like it's hard to explain what I mean by that. But he can do things that are unique to him 100%, especially his ults. The major shove or big shove or push, what is it? Massive shove.
Shovey.
Shovey McShovey pants.
Nice shovey.
Nice shovey. That thing is awesome and unlike anyone else's stuff. And at the same time, his job is to heal, but he does it in this really weird way. Like, I love that about Heroes of the Storm generally. Every character in the game has that and certainly has the potential. I don't feel like there's a lot of homogenization, and that's good because a lot of MOBAs I've tried have, 12 characters that all feel exactly the same to me. It's like, well, why do these even exist? Let's just take the best one. So they've already done such a great job of making them all unique. I'm glad that they continue to think about this stuff, though, so that's good. All right.
I think definitely Splood is a niche.
Oh no, Splood is a piece of freaking shit. They need to kick him out of the game.
That's a good point. You make a good point.
Yeah,
that's
I do.
A good
argument. Well, I try to make good points.
Did we not nerf Splood?
Yeah. What happened there? What kind of trouble are we in? All right, John. I have a last second request for you. If you're so willing.
Sure.
I wonder what is going to request.
Healing is a problem, obviously. They're changing a lot of things, and I'm wondering how this affects people on the front line, people in the middle of the battlefield, those who may lose themselves to the Great War, not having the kind of healing they're used to. And so now I give people this.
My dearest Martha, today we took to the battlefield. It was a rough fight, Martha. There were many injuries. Back at camp, Lieutenant Morales seemed perhaps confused. She came over and just started sticking band-aids to me. I said, Martha, except that wasn't her name. Clearly, it was a concussion I've received. I don't need a band-aid, but she just kept sticking band-aids on me. Meanwhile, Murky's over there, bleeding all over the place. He's not getting any attention at all. Then, Malfurion came in, and he made a nice lawn appear underneath everybody. There was a little tree. Martha, while aesthetically pleasing, didn't do a lot. Little Murky died that day, and I don't think I'll live to see the morning. Tell my wife, who's you, I love her. Yours in this life and the next,
Splood Fan 92. Wait, is that Morales' first name? Is she also Martha? Martha, Lieutenant
Maybe.
Martha Morales?
Maybe.
That was my
Perhaps
favorite
I got
part.
It canonically correct. I don't know.
Maybe Lieutenant Morales is the wife you're writing to.
Yeah. Tell my wife I may not see her again, which is you. That's amazing. This is the best thing ever.
You know, sometimes when you're just throwing things out there off the cuff, you get a little confused.
Yeah.
And, you know, poor Splood Fan suffered a concussion. They're very serious. Ask the NFL.
That's why we do it. And for all of you, those of you who found us because of the launcher today, now you know what the Dear Martha segment sounds like.
There's a lot of people in there going, Splood?
Yeah, it's from last episode. Look, go to heroesforyou.com. It's all there. You guys got to check that out.
You really know everything that we know about Splood. It's literally just saying the syllable.
Yeah.
To win a 10 in the chat, no, John does not do this every time. But when it's appropriate, we whip one out. And it's always improv. So we hope you enjoyed it. Hey, look at this. Apparently, John's got a politically autocorrect to play with this or something. John, what is this?
This is a quick little, we haven't done trivia in a while, and we knew this was going to be. episode. So I know Bo's cooking on a next Jeopardy, but I thought I'd play a quick little easy game for you guys where even the points aren't really going to matter.
All right.
So here's the deal. I entered the name of 8 characters and 1 map into my phone. I will now read the word or the words that it auto-generated to.
Okay. Did you say my phone? Is that what you said?
My phone.
Okay.
My phone.
All right.
The person with the most right answers wins. I'm probably not tracking it, so keep track of it yourself. So we'll go ahead.
10 points.
We'll start with Scott. The word that it kicked back to me was probes.
Probes?
Yeah.
And so I'm supposed to give you the next word?
No, you're supposed to give me what I typed in there that it auto-corrected. It was either the name of a hero or there is one map in there.
Oh,
but I'll tell you, the map is very obvious.
Probius.
That's correct.
Okay.
Bo?
Wait. Okay, that's for me.
The word it gave me was Genny. Which I didn't even know was a word, but apparently it's more of a word than Genji, which is correct.
All right.
Nice.
Genji, well done. Congratulations.
I have 1 coin.
Yeah.
Scott? The word was rehear.
Rehear?
Yeah.
Oh, Rhaegar.
Correct.
I like this.
Bo, this was a 2-word one. Art has.
Art has. You know who's an art has? My freaking neighbor. Artanis?
Nope. Arthas.
I know it
did was put a space in his name.
Yeah, it's Arthas, right? Yeah.
Yep. Now we're getting into some good ones. I feel like those were a little easy on the nose.
Right.
Scott, your next one is Lori.
Lori?
Yep.
Lori.
Like Lori, like a British Lori?
Oh, Leoric.
L-O-R-I.
Leoric.
Correct.
Got it.
Wow.
Well, you should get this one. And I thought this was really funny.
Okay.
Hansen.
Oh, Hanzo.
Yep, correct.
That's how we spell Hanzo anyways.
This is probably my favorite. Scott, the word it gave me was garnish.
Garage.
Correct.
No, garnish. Say no thank you to Garage's garnish.
I really like the idea of his name being Garnish Hellscream. It's really good.
Yep, it's pretty good, right?
Yeah, it's really good.
This one might be an easy one, Bo, but it made me laugh. It's 3 words. Bra is holdout.
Oh, Brax is holdout.
Correct.
Also, very...
Although I kind of like Bra is holdout.
That's I was going to say, that's also a thing in your life. The bra is always a holdout. Well done. Congratulations.
And last one, because I didn't odd number of them for some reason. Scott, spoof.
Splood.
Correct. It was splood.
Damn it.
Ah, that's really good. Freaking love it. Oh, that's the music takes us out once again, everybody. That was actually really fun. I like that a lot. We should do that more. That music means that it's time for emails. core@heroesforyou.com is the email address people send stuff to. For those of you here and are new today that came from the launcher, write that email address down. core@heroesforyou.com and use it if you have any thoughts, comments, and stuff like the following people. Joseph wrote in and said, "So, I see the post recently from Blizzard that they are nerfing supports to try and encourage a less dual support meta. Yet the nerfs are to the support's survival, not their effectiveness." I mean, a bunch of them had health pools knocked down, so I don't know if that's true. But anyway, now, of course, there were modifications to wave clear and such, but the big thing was a nerf to all of their HP and regen, making them far more fragile. I find it kind of a counterintuitive to make the likelihood in a solo healer comp, the aspect that the healer dies easier, make not wanting to bring a backup more prevalent. This is a hard sentence. Why is that written that way?
Yeah, do you need to take a break?
No, like, it's
not me. We're almost there, but you can sit down for a minute.
But if you read that. It's wrong. I find it kind of counterintuitive to make the likelihood in a solo healer comp, the aspect that the healer dies easier, make not wanting to bring a backup more prevalent.
Don't we have a PA to proofread these before we go live?
We probably should have. Yeah, that's a good idea.
So, where's Ivan?
He does say this. It is like saying we want to make healers less needed, so we want to need healing more. What? Question mark, he says. Blizzard
After
simply needs... He says After simply... Blizzard simply needs to make the answer to who heals the healer always be themselves, period. Joseph. I'm not entirely sure what Joseph means, but I take from his meaning a little bit that he's not happy about this change either.
I think if I could paraphrase,
please,
their self-survival of a healer is important. Mm-hmm. So, you know, if you've played Ana, you know this is definitely a shortcoming of hers. You really feel it. Part of the deal with being a support is, yes, you support your team, but you're not much use to anyone if you can't keep yourself up. Even if you're not doing a lot of damage and a lot of healing numbers and stuff like that, like, at the very least, you kind of do need to be more resilient than the rest of your team, and that could mean just playing safely or being kind of hard to kill in the front line. Mm-hmm. But yeah, so I guess if I had to paraphrase what he was saying, it's that who heals the healer, they're gonna have a harder time healing themselves, and that presents challenges. And I think we kind of talked about that a little bit.
I don't think he's far off. I think there's a point there, and I agree with it. I still ultimately stand by we need to wait and see. But I think the other question he needs to ask, instead of who heals the healer, who supports the healer? Mm. Because if we're in a traditional comp where you have a brawler and a tank, the theory behind twin tanks definitely is nobody gets to the healer.
Mm.
You don't let somebody get there. And if you do, you blow them up, which you're more able to do if you have two assassins instead of one. So I think the thing that we need to look at is who supports the healer instead of who heals the healer, because it takes a team. It takes a village.
Yeah,
that's the tank. It's the tank's job to you know, look swivel his head around your head. What do they used to say at Starbucks? Your head's on a swivel.
Starbucks.
Because when I worked there. So here's a little coffee shop science for you guys. And I know there's one over at Blizzard even. It's like, it's very tempting for a lot of employees who'd rather not be dealing with the public to turn around and play with the coffee machines and socialize.
Mm.
It's like, there might be a customer behind you and you don't see him. So put your head on a swivel, take a look, because they have some standard where they greet a customer within like 2 minutes, or no, 2 minutes.
Like,
within 30 seconds. Within like, I think 30 seconds. It's been a while. It's been like 18 years. But like, so secret shoppers, they're evaluated on how quickly they greet a customer, and customers can sneak up on you. So you have to have your head on a swivel. So if you're a tank, you also have to have your head on a swivel. No diving the enemy team without, Sonya's in the back line murdering your support. It's your job to kind of be mindful of stuff like that.
Rassiner in the chat has an interesting idea. He thinks everybody needs to do 5-man healer comps in Team League just to piss Blizzard off and troll him into not messing with healers anymore. I think that
That'll fix it.
It feels
that
like won't. That's not fun okay. for anyone.
That Lashes clarifies negative. It's 10 seconds, by the way. It's 10 seconds.
10 seconds?
Yeah.
Boy, you better have your head on a swivel.
You better say hi to a customer in 10 seconds or they'll snip your coffee bean. I don't know. whatever it is they do.
Well, you only got two. You got to be careful.
You get two chances. Snip your coffee bean?
Yeah, I was just trying to say something funny, and that's what came out.
It's all right.
It's pretty good.
It's like got to leave it there.
It's like it's a damn
leaving it on the floor.
Yeah, it's a testicle. I get it. Tony S. wrote in. He says, "Hey, Molten Core doggies." I don't know what that means. I've listened to Core since the beginning.
Corehounds?
Oh, Corehounds. Duh. All right, I'm done. I listened to Core since the beginning, and I just wanted to say that the Splood episode is one of my favorite ones to date. John's dear Martha killed me. I could not stop laughing. Anyway, I just wanted to chime in and tell you you've got a good thing going, and keep up the great work, Tony S. Well, thank you, Tony. That was very nice of you to say. And we also enjoyed the Splood episode.
Will be remembered.
The best part about Splood is we've not described it at all. We've just said the word Splood, and we leave it there. And that's what makes...
We could explain it.
No, I want. Like, in a world where, you know, Kyle Ferguson appears as a portrait you can pick 8 times in the game and all of that, if I have any legacy, any legacy or impact in the game... I don't want to know that it's ever happened, because obviously they can't take a picture and show me.
Right.
I just want to know that somewhere, wherever they have their whiteboard of heroes they want to put in the game, I just want somebody to go in there and write Splood with an exclamation mark and just leave it up there. Never make him. Yeah. Never acknowledge it. Never talk about it. I just want to know that it's up there.
I don't think you can see Splood on a whiteboard.
Send your emails to anyway. Bo, not me. But here's the thing. Lashes, you have the power. You take a little dry erase marker, you go in there, and you just put a little bit just underneath, like right below, how's that fireback coming? And right above, Hanzo sucks, put splood.
Splood.
Yeah.
All right. Well, enjoy our last appearance on the launcher, friends. It was a great, it was a good run.
It was a good run. Thank you very much for being here. That is actually going to be it for the show. Thank you all for listening. It's great having you all here. We're going to be playing some games after, and we'll be playing them with you. And I don't mean against you. If you're a listener and you're listening right now, you might get picked for random placement in our five-man comps tonight. People have been saying, why don't you guys play more listener games? And part of us are like, well, we want to be progressing and getting loot boxes and money and XP. So they're like, well, then how come you don't have us on your teams? All right. You've convinced us. Tonight, that's what we're going to do. So the two slots will be filled by one of you randos, or two of you randos out there.
Just one of you. You gotta be both.
You gotta be both. You gotta be a dual. You gotta be. You gotta be Lost Vikings every time. But when we do this, to see how it goes, we'll swap you out for two more people each game, that sort of thing. So we're gonna give that a shot. Hang around if you can play. Then you're ready to stay. That rhymed, and I feel good about it. All right. Patreon.com/coreshow is our Patreon. I want to thank everybody out there who's supporting it. Good news, the very first Dear Martha letters have been shipped. I confirmed it today. They're on their way to those who are at the level to get the Dear Martha letters in the mail. You'll be getting those very soon. And huge thanks to everybody who supports us at patreon.com/coreshow if you love the show and you either listen to it or watch it live or catch it later on YouTube or wherever you're getting it and you value it, consider chucking a little change our way at patreon.com/coreshow. And the more goals we hit, the more cool stuff we do. So big thanks to everybody for that. Heroes4You.com is our website, and you will find all of our details there, including our Twitter accounts, at Core Heroes, looking at the wrong page, at John_Jagger, at Scott Johnson, and at Bo Schwartz. That's going to do it for us. For me, for Bo, for John, we will see you next time. This show is part of the Frog Pants Network.
Frog Pants Network.
Get more shows like this at frogpants.com. Dang it, I was trying to find this bow one. It's so good. Hold on.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. Warbyparker.com/covered.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Welcome back to Two Judgy Girls. I'm Mary from the Bay.
And I'm Courtney from LA. TJG is the podcast where we spill all the tea on your favorite reality TV shows, celebrity gossip, and everything in between. We're here to bring you our unfiltered opinions, hilarious commentary, and plenty of laughs along the way.
We're two SDSU Delta Gamma sisters with a microphone and a whole lot of opinions. Each week, we dive headfirst into the wild world of reality television, from Bravo to all the trash TV you could want. We break down the drama, dissect the latest scandals, and share our thoughts on everything from the jaw-dropping moments to the embarrassing antics.
But that's not all. We're not here to just gossip. We're here to connect with you, the jurors, and share our love of all things pop culture. Whether we're dishing on the latest celebrity breakups, discussing our favorite guilty pleasure movies, or sharing embarrassing stories from our own lives, we promise to keep it real, keep it fun, and keep you coming back for more.
Come judge with us.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.